Good evening, and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. I'd like to welcome Sherry. Welcome, Sherry.
Well, thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Great to be here with you.
We have good news?
We do have good news.
Oh, good.
We have a lot of good news. I'm busy pressing a lot of buttons here to try to keep everybody listening and all of that, so I think I have that sorted.
You know, you make it sound easy, but I happen to know there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
Yes. If I sound distracted, that'll be one excuse at least.
Is it just you and me?
It's you and me.
All right.
And we have a lot of great stuff, and I didn't know if you wanted to just kick it off, or I can prompt you, or where do you want to go?
I kind of do, just because I'm kind of counting the time up and figuring where our little Africa team is.
Yes.
As they make their way to Ndola, and so they should be getting very, very close to their destination. And they've got quite a list going, and they'll be sending us back blogs because they have a lot of pressure to do that. You know? They get reminded by everyone as they're leaving that they need to stay in touch. So they've got a lot of appointments lined up. But this is what we just think of kind of as a business trip. So it's fairly fast, and it's just going over there to see how everything is doing, because even though we're in really remarkably close communication with the folks there, it's still it's difficult. We talk often at the monastery. 2007 was the year of communication, and so is 2008, and I suspect 2009 will be, just because we realize how much suffering is locked up in communication, bad communication, missing communication.
Yes.
There's some quote about the biggest difficulty with communication is assuming that it's happened.
I love
and,
that.
And so here we are trying to talk about very complex issues and create big things with people who speak another language and are, 10 or 12,000 miles on the other side of the world, living in a very, very different culture. So just going there and checking in with the permanent secretary, making sure they're still very supportive of our work, with the engineer who's overseeing the medical clinic, with the contractor who's building it, and making sure that the workers are all happy and the kids are doing well in school, and that as they add all of these new children to school, they actually have the ability to do that. You know, that people aren't just kind of getting up at 5 and working until after dark trying to feed and take care of all of these extra children. So just, kind of being a support for what's going on, and just to have clarity and reaffirm our support is a big part of what happens in these trips.
Yes.
An example of that is there have been a couple of cases recently where someone has gotten ill and hasn't checked in. We think of them as our ladies, the 13 gals who are the real backbone of the work that we do over there. And something happened to one of them, and instead of coming to Teresa and saying, this has happened, what should I do, how should I approach it, will Living Compassion be supportive of me getting medical care, they just go back to their old ways of doing things, and sometimes their old ways of doing things can have really dire consequences.
Yes.
And so it's making sure that they understand how committed we are to them and to the work that we're all doing together over there.
Yes. Sherry, can I make one comment about that?
Please.
And I've said this before. To me, it is such a testament to awareness practice that this project goes so well. It's a foreign country. It's a different language. It's, I don't know how many thousand miles away.
Yeah.
And yet, bringing no assumption to it, what better approach could there be?
Yeah. Yeah, I truly think that that's what makes us so successful.
Yes.
We talk with a lot of people who are doing similar things, who are having way more problems than we're having.
Yes.
And I do think it's that awareness practice is the bottom line for us. It's the basis of everything that we're doing there. And because of that, our relationships are really solid. You know, there's such a level of trust and really, I would say, love that happens there. You know, it's more than it's not just a good idea that we should do something for these people who are suffering. You know, we're all doing awareness practice together. Wherever we are in that process, that's what we're all doing together. And we're trying to bring as much conscious, compassionate awareness to each situation as we possibly can. That's what we're committed to, and I think it's working well.
Yes, yes. So as far as I can tell from here, it looks wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good. And so we'll have pictures soon, of course. And it's amazing. You know, many people know because they heard her on the show last week. I spent 6 days with my 3-year-old granddaughter, and you know, it's just amazing to watch a child grow up. And that's the experience that we're having in Cantalumba. You know, we've been knowing these kids now for enough years that we watch them. Some of them go from little tiny kids, and then they get bigger, and then they lose their front teeth. It's just wonderful to have such a vast extended family.
Sherry, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the new practice opportunity.
Yes, I've been getting some questions from people about that, which makes me know I need to hop on board here and get some information back out to people. We're putting the not the finishing touches. That is not the right image. But we're beginning to put together the components, you know, to lay out the curriculum. And so I'm going to be sending out an email to people before long, talking more about what that first 3 months would be like, and kind of giving an overview of the program and maybe coming up with some dates for us to get started.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I know people are excited about it, and I am too, because of that thing that I'll talk about every time anybody gives me a chance. You know, we have so much information about awareness, but we don't have that much support for practice.
Yes.
And practice is the thing that makes the difference for us.
Yes.
So, and practice, you know, there's practice. You know, we sit every day, or we go to a sitting group, or that sort of thing. But then there's having support for practice, and that's the real killer for most folks. You know.
Yes.
Yes, I want to practice. Yes, I even have practice opportunities. But then those voices kick in, and they start beating on me, and I get talked out of it, and I feel bad, and I can't show up, and then, you know, so, yeah. Everything that we can do to support people through that kind of resistance from conditioning, I think is what we're here to do.
That's great. Yeah, yes, when I read your email.
Speaking of which, Michael, we just, we have the next There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat in May is full to overflowing. So we've added another one in June.
Oh, my goodness.
7th through 14.
Yes.
And
great.
And then we've also put one, it's just one, in August. I can't remember actually what the dates are. They'll be up pretty soon. I think it ends on the 23rd, so I don't know what that, does that mean it begins on the 16th or 17th, something like that?
Yes.
And we put that on especially hoping that those will be dates that teachers and students can more easily participate with.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Pretty soon nobody will believe there's anything wrong.
That's what we're going for. Yeah, we're on a campaign. And speaking of practice opportunities, of course, there are still a couple of spaces available in the North Carolina and the Pittsburgh retreat. Blessedly,
yes.
They are both filling up quickly. We were a little nervous there, but they are filling up. And so if people want to do that, there's still time to sign up.
Great. Great. Mm. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Sherry, it's 501. And I'd like to give out the phone number because
okay.
No one is taking advantage of our opportunity yet today.
My goodness.
And after I do that, I have a couple more good news items.
All right.
Okay, toll free in North America, 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. Again, that's 888-472-6442. Phone lines are open today, and we would love to hear from you. Sherry, the last good news item I have is that I got an email yesterday from Living Compassion showing all of these new gift cards to support the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
And aren't they gorgeous?
They're very stunning. I was quite impressed.
Yeah. Yeah, very beautiful. So, and lots more, lots of cards for different kinds of occasions.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. New images, but also for different birthdays and anniversaries and I think for remembrance and lots of different choices.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's very fun, and they're all on the Living Compassion homepage under What's New There. And I didn't realize this until I read the email that recipients of these cards often become senders of them.
I know. Isn't that fun?
That's fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the way all good things happen as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
You know, something, like you tell me about something, and because I like you and I trust you and you're my kind of guy, you know, I think, oh, I'll look into that.
Yeah.
And so that's how all of this work travels around the world. It's just that somebody gets a card and they think, well, that's beautiful, that's wonderful. I never knew about this. I never knew about these people or this project or this work. And then they often will go online and read about the work that is being supported by the cards, and then they start thinking about people they could send cards to. So
yes.
It's a fun way for everybody to benefit.
Yes.
That's the good part. The person who sends the card feels good. The person who gets the card feels good. And, of course, you know, the kids who are eating and going to school really feel good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Sherry, we have some callers. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, great. I'd like to welcome our next caller. You just got a message saying you're unmuted. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's John in Los Angeles.
Hey, John.
How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good. What's going on?
Well, I had kind of an interesting experience recently, and I wanted to just sort of check in with you. And I was cooking with my son, actually from the monastery cookbook.
Uh-huh.
And we were making the chocolate cake.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, and we made it twice. And what's interesting, at least to me about the experience, was the first time we made it, it was the perfect monastery chocolate cake. Absolutely perfect. Everybody was completely astounded, and we have converts now.
Uh-huh.
And then the next week, we decided we were going to make it again, and we did exactly the same thing, and it didn't quite come out as well as we would have liked.
Mm.
And it was interesting because I'm not really particularly the most domestic person, and cooking is a new challenge for me. And I immediately started kind of giving myself a hard time. What had I done wrong? What is this? And it was really interesting. And my son chimed in with, "Dad, it's a Zen cake. It's just what it is." And it was really funny because we all kind of went, oh, because it was quite bitter. We made one. It was quite bitter, not as sweet as usual. And it was a real interesting thing because the entire room shifted and everybody just started eating the bitter chocolate cake and enjoying it. And the sort of thing that struck me, I mean, I'm joking, but the thing that struck me was I've been having a sort of a go of things recently where I haven't been enjoying the bitter chocolate cake, metaphorically, of how things are working for me in my life in terms of health and what's been going on. And I realized that it's that shift that can occur when something snaps you out of it, out of being identified with not liking the chocolate cake, that can make the difference between something edible and something inedible.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really the whole deal, isn't it? We get attached to our idea about how something is or how it should be. And then when we have an experience that's other than that, all we focus on is our disappointment or our upset or whatever it is, because we are so in the habit of believing that what our conditioned mind tells us is real.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the experience I've been having is that that the circumstances that I'm experiencing, the content that I'm experiencing is substantive, that it's not just real, that it's, you know, this is the way it is, this is the way it's going to be, I need to get used to that and come to terms with it in some regard. And it affects my practice. It's some of the physical issues that I have because it's quite hard for me to sit for periods of time. And I've been getting somewhat disheartened by it. And ever since the cake sort of issue, I've been looking at the sort of system of beliefs around that's going on for me and whether they're true or not. You know, that's another experience that I'm having. Is, well, is
right.
that really
well,
true?
Yeah, again, there are two pieces of that. In the first one that you're pointing at, is it even the case? Because so often what conditioned mind points out to us as reality isn't. So, the easiest example of that is one of those days where a person is having a bad day and there's nothing going on. They're just having a bad day. They're in a bad mood. Whatever it is. But, you know, there's nothing about the day that would need to be different for the person to be having a great day. It's just what the person is bringing to it and projecting onto it. But if you talk to that person, you know, it is just inherently, objectively, a lousy day. They're having a really bad time.
I resonate with that. I understand that.
Yeah, and then there's the other aspect of it, which is, by the standards that we all agree to, it's a bad day. You know, you get up, and in the night, the refrigerator broke, and all your food is melting, and water's running all over the floor. And you slip in it and fall and, break your arm. And then as you go out to try to drive yourself to the hospital, the car doesn't start. Now, we could all agree that, wow, those are really rugged circumstances. It would take a kind of a superhero to remain cheerful under those circumstances. Mm. And yet, the reason that that's the case is because we believe that days shouldn't be like that.
Mm.
But it's the Zen cake. There never was an alternative to that. That is the way that day is, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, it kind of goes with that thing that I've heard you talk about the whole past, present, and future issues. And from at least myself and my experience is that there's a strange set of standard that my day should be a certain way because I don't like the idea that I'm wasting a day, this idea of wasting a day.
Yeah.
And then that there are days where it's just I'm in a lot of physical pain and my attention gets really caught in that particular thing because there's a lot of stories that come up for what it means if I'm in a lot of quote-unquote pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's these stories that come up, and it takes all of my attention, and then there's the day's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then that becomes an issue of, well, see, you've just wasted a day.
Yeah.
Or that took a day. And I'm really starting to look at that and going, well, I'm not sure that's entirely true. I spent a day taking care of myself as best as I could under the circumstances, and I'm not sure I was entirely in a practice state of mind, but I was as compassionate towards myself as I could be given the circumstances.
Yes, yes. You know, one of the places that I've had the biggest lessons in this is going to Africa. And being around people regularly who don't eat. I mean,
right.
They eat so little that I'm a person with, we have to do the little fingers in the air, blood sugar issues.
Mm.
So if I don't eat regularly, you know, I just get wacky. And these people, you know, it may be they didn't eat today and they might not have eaten yesterday. And if they did eat, they did not eat anything that would sustain me for more than a few minutes.
Wow.
And yet, they're not doing any of the stuff, as far as I can tell. I'm not getting any information that says they're doing any of the stuff that I would probably be doing under those circumstances. In other words, they're just going around, going along, doing whatever is there to do, talking to people, laughing, interacting. And I think, you know, what's the difference here? And as best as I can figure from conversations that we have, there isn't an expectation that something should be different.
Mm.
It's just the way life is.
Yeah, that's a hard place to get to, I think.
Ooh, it's a really hard place to get to. So for you specifically, what that would translate into is, okay, there you are in a great deal of physical pain, and that has nothing to do with your life. I mean, we can hardly wrap our heads around it.
Yeah.
So it's
a very hard one because immediately voices are kicking and going, yeah, but, and I'm squelching them as you're speaking.
Yeah, well, they do because we have such a deep belief that we have all of these choices and alternatives, and therefore we shouldn't have to experience something other than what we want to experience. And it's really difficult for... And you know me, I don't have shoulds about stuff, and you know this is not an encouragement for anybody to go to self-hatred. It's just that we are very privileged.
Yeah,
and,
I agree with that.
And in that privilege, it is very difficult for us to accept something as just the way it is.
Yeah, the outcome for me of the cake day is I started wearing my key and my rosary again.
Uh-huh.
And reminding myself more often that I'm not so sure that this is really true, and looking a little bit more closely and wanting to. So I think I guess if I were to distill this, I went through a period of being identified very strongly, and a small joke from my son while making a cake reminded me, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that moment when you're in practice and you kind of lost track of your breath and you're sort of sitting there and, you know, you're playing baseball or poker or whatever, and all of a sudden there's something, I'm not sure quite what it is, but something where it goes, all right, my breath. And I feel like I've just come from a very long period of being identified with something that really kept me away from practicing. And the new practice opportunity also simultaneously is very exciting for me because I agree very much that there isn't a lot of support for practice, and I actually am very excited by this possibility.
Yeah, good, me too. And it's great to have something like the Zen cake to just be that sort of, you know, all you have to do is think that, and it kind of takes you back to that place, just that jars you into that same kind of realization or awareness.
Yeah, I like that someone who's never sat for a moment in their life was able to say that to me too. You know, that was just a really good insight on his part. You know,
yeah.
Dad, it's a Zen cake.
Yeah. May he never lose that.
Yes, I will support that prayer.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's good to talk with you. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, John. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Yeah, I'd like to welcome our next caller. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, this is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Oh, good. What's going on?
Well, I'm calling to touch base with a phone call I called about a month ago about a woman that I was subbing for, subbing a class for, and okay. So when I talk to you,
but go through the
should I go through it?
Money.
Okay,
yeah, because there are people who weren't there with us.
Okay, so what happened was I subbed a class, a couple classes for this woman while she was away. She had asked me to do it. And we had not communicated beforehand about payment or anything. And then she sent me an email after saying, you know, this is the amount that I pay subs. Do you think this is fair? And I wrote her back and I said, not really. I have subbed before, and these are the kind of things that people have done when I've subbed before. But if you feel that, you know, this is what you want to pay me, and we didn't discuss it, and I have used her studio for other things, I said, you know, that will be all right. And she wrote me back. She was really, I have no idea what she was, because it was just through the email.
Not happy, though.
She was very, you know, like very cursed, like, well, you know, oh, no, she did that first. Well, what do you think you should be paid? You know, I just got the feeling that she was upset, even though she didn't say, well, this really makes me mad. And then I never heard back from her. And that's when I called you and I said, you know, I've got all these stories going on and I don't know how to handle it. And your advice was to just write her and say, it feels like things got really kind of mixed up, messed up, and, you know, how do you feel we can go about, you know, figuring this out? And so I sent that, and I got back the most creative email. It was great, because I never thought this in my storytelling. This never came about. She said, what email? I don't even know what you're talking about. She said, whatever you wrote me must have gotten lost in cyberspace. I didn't know we were having any kind of trouble.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was so, I reread it and reread it and said, wow, in my wildest dreams, I never would have thought it would have gone to this. So I was just left with, yeah, laughing. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm just,
know.
So, but it didn't stop there. So then something came up and I ended up seeing her. It was someone's birthday party thing, and, you know, and she gave me a hug and she said, oh, we need to get together. Let's go out to dinner. Let's do something. I was like, yeah, well, whatever happened about that money? I didn't say anything, but I was thinking to myself, this is so bizarre.
So she never did pay you.
Well, no. It ended. I just need to keep going. She never mentioned it. She lost my email. She doesn't even know she has insomnia, but what do you call it when you don't remember something? Amnesia.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't remember anything that happened. She doesn't know that we ever had any kind of a disagreement. And then I emailed her because I wanted to use her studio for a workshop. So you could see I couldn't stop. So I emailed her and she said, well, how about we do a trade? I owe you money for subbing, so why don't we do a trade? So I wrote back and I said, great, that sounds fine. And I thought, okay, this got settled. Meanwhile, knowing that I probably would never sub for her again, and she probably would never ask me, even though we never talked about it.
Uh-huh.
Then I get this, so I did use her studio. It was great. But then I find out that she went away this week, and she got some guest teachers to sub for her, and she used one of my suggestions to her. One of my suggestions was she just let people people pay the subs directly. So she said, so I've got these guest teachers and, you know, now you can just pay the sub directly. And everything got reactivated again. It was like, oh, I can't believe it. She used my idea. She said she lost my email. And, you know, I mean, I just went into this, like, my own little tirade. And it where I thought, you know, I had kind of worked it out. So I realized that I was still so completely hooked. And I just had to stop myself. And the other day I was driving in the car and I was like, okay, I have to look at this because this seems like a huge projection. And what is going on? Why am I so engaged here?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I keep getting reactivated.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really saw clearly and what I wanted to, like, run by you was that in my profession as a, you know, yoga teacher and stress reduction, mindfulness kind of person, I really have, I have like these certain ways I have to be. I'm
uh-huh.
seeing that. I have like, I have to look like this.
Uh-huh.
And if I don't, then I'm not really doing it right.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just starting to see that, and I saw that, and I thought, well, if I'm feeling that way about myself, she's definitely not doing it right, you know, as a yoga teacher with a, her own studio.
Right.
And that was really hard for me to, like, draw myself in to look at that. And then when I saw it, it was like, wow, this seems pretty clear.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I can't imagine why I keep getting so activated.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah, she's doing it wrong.
She's doing it wrong, yeah, exactly.
You don't get to do it wrong.
No, I do it wrong too.
Well, but if you do it wrong, then you have to pay a really big price for it.
Oh, so she's doing it wrong and she can just get away with it?
Seems to be, huh?
You know, is it the thing that she's doing it wrong and she doesn't care that she's doing it wrong?
Yeah. Or,
and I'm doing it wrong and I get beat up.
Yeah. Or gosh, maybe she doesn't perceive it as wrong.
Yeah. And how could she not perceive it as wrong?
Yeah, that,
then that's wrong.
Yeah, that would be really wrong. Yeah. And it's fun. It's fun in that when we're on the other side of it, it's fun. Just to see how completely we make up this world that we live in.
Yes.
Yeah, and how hard it is for us to get information that everybody else isn't living in this world.
Yeah.
Especially when they don't seem to be struggling and suffering as much.
Yeah, it's like how could she do that? Well, the one thing was, well, how could she take my idea and then not even call me and say, you know, that was a great idea, and actually, by the way, I didn't lose your email, and I'm using your idea, you know. So it was like, when I got so heated, I was like, I've really got to, like, sit with this because this is, like, big,
mm-hmm.
And it just came back to the way. The harshness of how I judge myself in some ways.
You know, the other thing, it just since you're obviously wide open to looking at this, very often when we have that kind of strong reaction, there's something that we are doing that we are oblivious to that
yep.
is just like what the other person is doing.
Well, that's what I think I came up with.
Well, yes. Let's see. I'm. It's that it's something that you're not aware of.
But can't. Okay. So can you say that again?
Yeah. That if I get really upset that somebody is lying to someone else, say.
Yeah.
And I could look at that and I could know, yeah, I don't allow myself to lie. It's not okay. It's not okay with me that people lie to other people. It's not okay with me that I lie to other people. Therefore, I don't do it. Okay? But when I have a really strong reaction, often what's going on is that, in fact, there is a situation in my life in which I am lying to somebody, and I am not aware that it's going on.
Uh-huh.
And so when somebody does something, it puts me too close to that situation in my life that conditioning is not letting me know about. And so conditioning gets really riled up and gets the focus going outward.
Yes.
So it's just a little, you know, it's a little one of those fun awareness things to play with. So to look at it and say, okay, but where am I doing this in my life? And I am not aware of it. I'm not copping to it. In fact, I'm not getting beaten up over it because I'm not even conscious of the fact that it's going on.
Okay, so you're saying what I saw and what I realize I'm getting beaten up for is possibly not it.
Well, it's a piece of it.
But there's possibly something else that I'm not even aware of.
Yes, there's very possibly another layer.
Okay.
That getting beaten up on this layer keeps you from.
Ooh, this is kind of interesting.
Yeah, so another parallel to it is, you know, I get really upset that the government doesn't take better care of the environment. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm seeing it all the time. You know, the standards that they don't have and the way they don't uphold the standards that exist. And, you know, I get myself really worked up over this. But I don't notice the fact that I only recycle part of the time, that I'm not bringing any kind of awareness to the packaging that exists on the stuff that I'm buying. That, you know, level of conditioning has me focused over there so that it can do what it wants over here.
I understand what you're saying, and how would I work with that then?
Just by being aware of it as a process.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things. So, for instance, with that, if I realize, wow, I get so worked up over, you know, how the city doesn't blah, blah, blah. But, boy, I mean, I just buy that stuff in plastic bags like there's no tomorrow. Okay? If as soon as I become aware of that as a principle, okay, so what am I doing in my life that's like those things I get upset about? The opening to the possibility of knowing about that,
mm-hmm.
just opening to it, the awarenesses, they start a coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So John was talking about the, you know, you're sitting in meditation and you're, you know, you're gone. You're playing poker or baseball or whatever, and all of a sudden there's the breath.
Mm-hmm.
And you come back and you're there. And it's like, oh my God, where did that come from? It's the same process with, you know, suddenly I'm reaching for that plastic bag to put my one apple in, and there's just an awareness of, now what's the city going to do with that plastic bag that you just.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, of course, as we both know, and many of us know, conditioning will want to grab hold of that and say, you see, you're just a hypocrite and blah, 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 blah. But, of course, that's another layer of scam to keep its reality in place.
Mm-hmm.
And what we say is, no, thank you. I'm actually happy to have awareness. Awareness does not make me a bad person. Nice try.
Well, this whole thing has been amazing.
Yeah.
Because it started with, you know, I mean, I've gone through so many cycles with this.
Yeah.
So
and it's this is that place where I think, you know, you would have had to pay a fortune to attend a workshop.
Yeah, you said that last time.
That would have brought you this much.
Right, I know.
Yeah. And when we find ourselves in it, you know, conditioning is just going, I wish this had never happened. I hate this. Why did they, you know, maybe I should stop teaching. This is just so, instead, it's like, oh, my God, this is so rich.
Yeah. This is really rich, yeah. So, okay, I'm going to do a little bit more awareness searching, and I'll call back.
Good. Give us a report.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Hello, my name is John March, and I'm the leader of a music project called the Zen Blues Quartet. For the last few years, this collaboration of some of the best musicians in the world has been gathering to record and perform as a way of showing our gratitude and love for the music of the blues. For myself, as a Zen student, I see a direct connection between playing the blues and awareness practice, because for me, both seem to require a willingness to be really present in the moment. Zen Blues Quartet is proud to sponsor Open Air Talk Radio with Sherry Huber, as we firmly believe that the quality of your life is dependent on the focus of your attention.
What a life, what a life, my life, what a life, what a life, what a life.
Please visit us at www.zenbluesmusic.com for more information about our project.
I sure do love it. I sure.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have fun sponsors.
We do.
Huh?
I can't tell you how much I love it when that one life comes in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, me too. Sherry, I am showing five more callers here.
Ooh, we better process fast, huh?
Yes. Okay, I'd like to introduce our next caller. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Laura calling from Hawaii.
Hi there.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. I'm the person who was on hold at the end of the show last week.
Oh, and here you are.
And here I am, in spite of conditioning waking me up in the middle of the night to give me a whole list of reasons why I can't phone in. And,
and
finally,
good reasons they were, I'm sure.
Oh, heavens. Well, Sherry, you know, you just don't like me.
Oh, that again.
Nothing important to say, and I'm wasting people's time. During meditation, there would always, I could almost count on conditioning coming in and giving me more reasons. And finally, what I discovered was, if I just said, it doesn't matter, I'll phone or I won't phone, and it just doesn't matter, then that lifted.
Uh-huh.
I am so enjoying listening to the show, and I'm delighted to know that there's a chocolate cake recipe, because that was one of my highlights when I was at the monastery, was that slice of chocolate cake. Oh, my gosh. So I'm going to follow up on that one. But what I actually had called in about last week was, it was kind of a celebration. I work with my husband, and we have very different working styles, and so I have been having lots of opportunity to process my part in this whole situation. And last week, I had been really good about staying in my own space and not getting involved in our little karmic drama, and I had a relapse. And I noticed it relatively quickly, I mean, because we were kind of, you know, raising our voices. And so I backed out of it, and then what was interesting to me was I didn't seem able to let it go in my own mind. And so I'm alone in my office. There's nobody around me, and I'm being invited to replay the conversation and build a resentment. And even though in this case I was in the quote-unquote wrong, I could, conditioning was still coming up with all these reasons. And And I just said this little prayer for the willingness to drop the suffering. And what came to me was something that you had said, which was, oh, isn't that just like me? How very endearing. And so I turned to that sub who likes to get embroiled in this, you know, I know how to run the business thing, and just said that. And it was just like this physical lightness, and I was able to let it go. So I'm just calling in gratitude for this process.
Good for you. That is marvelous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just so delightful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just to turn around to it and say, you are just the dearest, cutest, sweetest person. Just love you to pieces.
It just made me smile, and then I was able to let go of all the junk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because otherwise, conditioning, of course, it would like to just sit right there and just make a meal out of you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, just work you up and get you upset and hating him and, yeah.
Yeah, and I was telling a friend about this, and I was saying, I've been so good for a whole month. I didn't get engaged in this, and my friend just burst out laughing, like, that. Just that I would think I was cured because I hadn't done it for a month, right? Or that I had that expectation that I wasn't going to return to this whole
And yeah, and of course, that's a huge part of how conditioning does it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I see people, the place that I just wish we're different about that is when a person suffers with depression, and they come out of the depression, and the first place that conditioning goes is, oh, thank God, that's over. That's behind me. I'm not going to do that again. And it's so sad because, well, of course it's going to happen again. Well, of course it's going to happen again. And that expectation, setting up just setting that up, the only thing that can happen with that is when it does happen again, then there's a failure. There's this huge disappointment. But if what we get is what you got in this, which is, it doesn't matter how often that part of you is there, because all it is an opportunity for you to embrace yourself in loving kindness and compassion.
What an amazing gift this practice is.
It's a good thing, isn't it? We're very lucky people.
Very, very lucky. Thank you so much, Sherry.
Oh, thank you. Listen to your heart instead of those voices, and we got to talk with you.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Ready for the next caller, Sherry?
Yes.
Okay. Next caller, would you please introduce yourself? You just got a message that you are now unmuted, and would you please introduce yourself? Are you there? Okay. Let's try the next one. Okay, next caller, would you please introduce yourself?
This is Judith from California.
Hi there.
Hello. It's taken me so long to call.
Well, sometimes things take a little while.
I know.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Well, the usual ups and downs. I'm dealing with chronic illness, and I would appreciate any guidance you can give me. It gets discouraging at times. I've been using all the practice tools even more because of it, so I can see how it's, you know, a friend in my life, as someone said to me. And it gets discouraging.
And so all of the things we've been talking about with everybody this evening apply, don't they?
Oh, I have heard so much helpful stuff just waiting on the phone.
Yeah, yeah. And so what is the nature of it? Is it pain? Is it debilitation? Is it
Well, it's an intestinal disorder, and so it's there's pain and there's impact on, there's limitation to what I can do. There's energy, there's low energy,
uh-huh.
and there's times when I feel pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And I keep thinking that it's going to get better.
Uh-huh.
And in some ways it has gotten better on this new diet I'm using, but some of the old symptoms just come back so regularly.
Uh-huh. So a piece of what we were talking about with John.
I missed the very first
definitely
conversation.
Definitely applies, doesn't it?
I missed the very first conversation.
Uh-huh. Well, we were talking about that expectation.
Yeah.
That, yeah, the idea that something should be different from the way it is.
Yes.
So with that, and with this last thing about the depression, so there you are, you're going along, and you don't have symptoms, and instead of being able just to stay with, isn't this wonderful for these minutes, this hour, whatever it is, I feel good. Conditioning grabs a hold of that and wants to make it into a this is the way it should be. In a way, can take you out of where you are and the enjoyment of where you are into a world in which now you feel better, now that's behind you, and then sets you up for tremendous disappointment when the symptoms are with you again.
I really related to that when I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a rough go, isn't it?
It can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and of course, the friend piece of it is that it does require you to keep returning to awareness, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as I was thinking right before you came on, that it gives me a chance to pay attention to the subpersonalities that are suffering in the process of all this.
Yes.
Comfort them, be with them.
Yeah. Yeah, because it is disappointing to them because they are being victimized by that conditioning.
It always goes back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Because, you know, if you have a little child, well, two examples that, but the one that was the most compelling for me was when somebody, a reporter, asked a wheelchair athlete, this fellow played basketball, wheelchair basketball, and wanted to make some kind of comparison to, you know, to people who aren't in wheelchairs and play basketball. And the guy just looked like, you know, what are you talking about? I've never not been in a wheelchair. You know, so for him, it wasn't a, isn't it too bad that you're having to play basketball from a wheelchair? Isn't that a sad thing? No, for him it's not. Because that's the only way he's ever played. That's how his life is.
Exactly.
He doesn't sit around in a, boy, I wish I walked frame of mind. And of course, that's where we're all trying to get with whatever chair we're in.
And I have felt that way. Now, you reminded me that that was my approach when, or it is my approach when, I'm practicing with it and just in gratitude that I get to not give up the thing that's most important in my life, this practice, no matter what kind of condition I'm in.
Yeah. 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 And of course, you know, the really obvious one that we forget immediately, and that is I'm alive. No?
Really?
And when conditioning gets a hold of us like that, it's like that doesn't even count. You know, I have my sight, I have my hearing. I have a sense of taste. I can feel the sun on my body. I can move. I can, you know, all of these things. They just don't count because there's this one thing or two
yeah.
things or three things or four things or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not to respect and honor people's legitimate sadness that things are the way they are, because it's also sad for people who have things that they would like to do that they're not able to do because of these conditions.
Yeah. Yeah, or that I don't know if I'll get over it or not. I mean,
right. But the thing that is available to each one of us, that just I saw it so clearly when we were just talking about that, whether you're recognizing all the gifts and blessings that you do have and you're feeling gratitude, or whether you're aware of the parts of you who are sad and disappointed because they can't do some of the physical things that they would like to do, and you're in compassion for them, as long as we're at center, you know, gratitude and compassion are not bad places to live from. We only really struggle and suffer, of course, when we leave center and go out and identify with someone who is in loss or lack or deprivation or fear or, you know, upset, something wrong.
Right. Well, and it motivated to call in. It motivated me to call in, which was a really good thing.
It's a really good thing, yeah. To be motivated to overcome the resistance that conditioning puts up to us reaching out and getting support for ourselves.
Yeah.
Getting a different perspective, getting in a different conversation from the one that conditioning wants us to be in all the time.
Yeah. Like, you can't go on a retreat, but don't call into the radio show.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is something, you know, I could have done easily all these years.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And now you know you can.
Yes, and I hope to see you soon when I come to visit at the monastery, if you're there.
Very good. I hope to be here.
Yes, wonderful. Right. Wonderful to talk to you.
Great to talk with you. Good
Thank
night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Judith. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about 10, 11 more minutes, and I see two more callers here.
All right.
Okay, our next caller, you're now on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? Well, let's try that again. Next caller, are you there? And could you please introduce yourself?
Now we're down to one, huh?
Now we're down to one. Let's try this one. Okay, next caller. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Karen from California.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
What's going on in your world?
Well, I have rearranged my entire schedule so that I can listen to this radio show and call in sometimes.
Well, thank you very much for doing that.
Yeah, I'm I don't know what took me so long. You know, I've listened to archives, but I don't know what prevented me from just saying, I need to be home by 5 o'clock on Tuesdays, and to make that happen. And I was able, well, almost able to do it. I got home about 5:20, but so here I am.
Very good.
Yeah.
It is astounding, isn't it, what
yeah.
we can accomplish when we decide to do it. You know, conditioning
yeah.
is always right there to say, oh, no, that won't work. No, you can't do that. No, that's too hard. No, no, that'll, no, no. Sometimes it doesn't even have to give us anything but no, no, no. And then we make up our minds to something, and it's like, huh.
Yeah.
That wasn't even hard.
Yeah, and I have to say that for me, most of my life has been lived that way with, I mean, I just have to say that with this practice, and even before I had this practice, most of my life has been, I've done it anyway in spite of that, in spite
uh-huh.
of being told continually that I can't do it
uh-huh.
in so many aspects of my life. And, yeah, and I guess that's why I called in, because that's kind of what's been going on for me lately, is I feel this big sort of onslaught of conditioning, and it's like I'm doing my life anyway, and there's a lot of happiness in my life every day, but I just have to, like, well, I am breathing every moment, but I feel like I have to just come back to my breath practically all day long, because if I go out, it's just there. I just have this nasty conditioning just yammering at me about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, you know, it's like I notice it, and I just come back, and I try to be with what I'm doing, and you know, I'm doing my life anyway, but it's just like, it just feels particularly, I don't know, more cruel
hard.
Than usual.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you have any.
Well, when you were talking, I thought, you know, it's a strange kind of bizarre little twist that what you're being driven to center. You know, we talk about the moment or the breath as a refuge,
mm-hmm.
and you're really experiencing it that way. I mean, the way
yeah.
you describe it, it is absolutely unsafe to leave that refuge for a moment, because it's out there lurking around the right outside the door.
Yeah,
in a way it's hard, but in a bigger way, it's a real gift. I mean, you're being required to pay attention and be present all day long, every day.
Yeah.
The thing that I would wish for you, the piece that I would add, is appreciation for yourself in that.
Yeah.
You know, so that every time you come back to the breath, you come back to I love you.
Well, you know, I've been doing little things like that. Like I, you know, I always remember the twist tie, and I can't really wear
the famous twist tie retreat.
Yeah. and I can't really do that in my line of work. And I and a rubber band doesn't work that well. But I can put a rubber band on the counter where I work, and every single time I wash my hands at work, which is all day long, I can see that, and I can come back to that. So I'm coming back, I'm noticing, I feel like I'm practicing harder than I ever have, but I have so much sensation in my body, it's almost like there's this energy, and if I listen to my conditioning, it'll just attach to anything. It's like it's just looking for a target. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, not to people, but just to scary thoughts or whatever, the future or money or health or just whatever, my children.
Something wrong.
Yeah, something
and not
wrong.
Enough.
That's where it wants to attach. Something's wrong. It doesn't matter what it's about.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, there isn't really anything wrong. So I'm just breathing through it, but there's just so much energy in it.
And does it feel like it's kind of, that it's one of those going farther, faring worse kinds of situations?
Well, that occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
It did, that occurred to me.
Yeah, that it's really kind of
very
building.
Those words occurred to me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and then of course I try to figure it out. Well, gosh, is it because I'm practicing more? Is it, you know, and then I think, okay, don't figure it out. That never gets me anywhere. So I come back. It's like, no, Matt, there's nothing I can do except breathe. And just
yes,
try to,
except, right, except breathe
mm-hmm.
and relax
mm-hmm.
and notice and reassure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's.
Moment by moment by moment by moment.
That's really all there is for me to do, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, obviously, I don't know this. But it definitely sounds as if because you have increased your commitment to practice, conditioning is going to increase its commitment to your suffering. And so it really does get into that wrestling match, you know, that the images of God and the devil wrestling for your soul, that kind of feeling of, you know, that this energy for suffering is just increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing, and you're having to work harder and harder to stay present and stay with yourself in that.
Yeah.
But again, I can promise you, you have more staying power than it does.
That's
because,
good to
you know,
hear.
If it continues like this, so I would bet there was a time when you first started practicing when if you had been hit with this kind of thing, you would just turn tail and run.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Over time, you know that doesn't work. As you said, you know, trying to figure it out doesn't work. Nothing works. So as you stay there and it keeps hitting you with this, pretty soon you're going to get used to it. You'll begin to develop an attitude of, oh, yeah, that. Oh, yeah, that. Oh, yeah, that. It'll just become really familiar to you because it's not unusual. So scary thoughts, okay? Now, there's a world of scary thoughts, as you say, scary thoughts about health, scary thoughts about money, scary thoughts about the future. But once you've identified, oh, that's the scary thought approach. Okay, mm-hmm. More scary thoughts. You know, I've been hit with 10,000 scary thoughts. I've survived them all. Do you see what I'm pointing at?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get desensitized, and it really works doubly well for you because you're coming back to center. You're practicing staying in center, and you're watching this stuff come at you. Pretty soon, it'll become predictable. And as it becomes predictable, it becomes less believable because you've been through it so much and you've survived it all. Why should this threat be different?
Yeah. And the energy in the body is just energy in the body.
Energy in the body. And, you know, the energy in the body, of course, is being controlled and manipulated primarily by egocentric karmic conditioning. And as you free yourself from that more and more, the energy in your body, now this is important. You know, when we talk about expanding the container, it really is important. I mean, you might should be more physically active than you are,
mm-hmm.
just to make sure that the energy continues to move. So maybe taking up some dancing.
Hmm. Well, I'll try it.
You know
because
what I mean?
Because I thought after this call, I'm going out for a nice long hike.
There you go. Do
you know,
whatever you enjoy
mm-hmm.
that moves the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So not to go on some, you know, exercise program that conditioning is going to be able to get a hold of and turn against you, but consciously choosing movement that you enjoy to move the energy.
Yeah, that's good advice. And
good.
And
let me know if it turns out to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, and then another thing I've been doing that's been really helpful is because it wakes me up at night, and so I've been listening to the archives on an iPod.
Ah.
And it completely, you know, I can't listen to that and be in conditioning at the same time. It's just
that, right.
And it's just wonderful. It's like a new cure for sleep problems. It's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And I can do it in bed. You know, I don't need light. I don't need to disturb my husband. I can just put him in my ears and
there you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're right. You are absolutely right about that. You cannot be listening to that and in conditioning at the same time.
Yes.
I swear I wish we could give that information to every human being on the planet. Mm-hmm. That is the importance of practice. That is what makes practice work. So that's huge.
Well, it's doing a lot for me, and you know, and I'm grateful, and I'm really happy to be home now on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock and be able to participate in this. And
glad to have you on board.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Karen.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have one person on hold. And we are just past 6 o'clock.
And that person is going to be our first caller next week.
Let's invite that person to be
and
our first
invite,
caller next week.
We invite him or her to let us know that.
Yes, yes, and please.
That was good to know.
Yes.
That was good to know tonight. That.
Yes, and please call early.
Thanks,
great.
Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Good night.
Good night.